Bibles to Isaiah chapter 40. It said Isaiah chapter 9, so the bookmark is probably in chapter 9 of Isaiah. That is not Jan's fault. I mistyped an email to Jan, and she just copied and pasted what I sent her. Isaiah chapter 40 is the one I want to share with you today. So finding that page number should be pretty easy, because I do have you the book of Isaiah if you get a Bible with a bookmark. Isaiah chapter 40. Our theme for Advent is that we're ringing those bells, and the bells that we're ringing are actually our own lives, our testimonies. I put up a picture of Hartley Bay there, their church. They have that bell tower. I shared the story. That bell tower doesn't actually ring bells. It plays the choir from years past, and sometimes we play children's music, because it's the people are the bells that actually call people to worship. It's not the bells. The bells are a metaphor of the people, of the community, calling us to worship God, calling us to worship Christ. And so we are those bells. And the way we ring those bells is by sharing the message that God has given to us, that God has ministered to us. And we just let that same song that God sang into our lives, we let it just ring out of our lives so that it becomes the song that other people hear. We just tune our hearts to what he has done to us, and we become the bell. And so first week, we looked at how God had blessed Abraham. And as God blessed Abraham, his life and the promises he received became the bell that rang out for all generations of blessing. It's through Abraham that all generations were blessed. We saw the Passover. That was a blessing that God gave the people of Israel, of peace between them and God. And with that, the whole temple sacrificial system was about taking care of sins and finding peace with God. And as God blessed them with peace, it became the song that rang out through Israel, rang out through their Messiah, Jesus. And that's the song that has reached us, the song of peace. And today we're looking at a song of hope. It's what the prophets spoke about continually. They spoke into a world where there was always darkness and there was always sin. They were always calling people to repentance. They had to, because we needed hope. And so the prophets are the bell that call us to worship God, and specifically to worship Jesus. The first passage I had Calissa read today, I want you to hear it again before I read from Isaiah 40. We stumble at noon as in the twilight. Among those in full vigor, we are like dead men. We growl like bears. Listen to that. Have you heard a bear moaning and growling out in the bush before? When they're howling? Oh my goodness. I don't even want to imitate it. Because I'll feel very silly. But man, it's a sound. We moan and we moan like doves. We hope for justice, but there is none. For salvation, but it is far from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before you, and our sins testify against us. This is the song that all of humanity is stuck with. The moaning of that sounds like a bear, or that sort of nagging moaning of a dove, of a pigeon. That's what our souls have been singing. And we need a song of hope. And the prophets would speak it to us. The third part of bells is, I got ahead of myself here. If you can go back a slide. The third part of bells is, where is it? I want the acronym. Do you have the acronym there? Go one more down. There it is. The third letter is listening to God. And that's what the prophets call us to do, is to worship, is to listen to God. The prophets would say, the word of the Lord came to me. They would say, thus saith the Lord. They would say, hear the word of the Lord. The word that God gave them was spoken to others so that they could hear God speak to them. And the message that they spoke after the message of repentance was a message of hope. Hope of salvation. Hope of good news. Hope of a new day. And we need to hear this today. When we go to God in prayer and we listen to God, I'm going to have to turn the drums off here, sorry. I don't know if it bothers you, but it gets me. When we go to God in prayer and we come listening to God, we will hear from Him. And the passage we're going to read today will show you four words that you will hear from God, that I do hear from God regularly in my prayer and in my Bible reading. And I want you to expect to hear these words from God yourself. I'm going to read the passage in sections, and then we'll talk about each of the words as we go. The first word that we hear from God is comfort. Verse 1 of chapter 40. Comfort. Comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hands double for all her sins. This is a word we need to hear from God, is a word of comfort. When we feel overwhelmed, like there just seems to be continual warfare in our lives, or when we feel rejected, we need to know that we are pardoned. We need to know the comfort of God. I have experienced this myself. I'm going to share with you one story. I remember one time I was doing a funeral here, and the family was fighting with each other, like dramatically, harshly fighting with each other. And, you know, all dressed up and looking nice, but under the current was a very fierce fight. And I had to make a decision that one side, it didn't matter which way I went. One side was going to like it, the other side was going to hate it, right? It didn't matter which way I went. I had to choose the ethical decision, so I made my decision. It was ethical to this day. I would defend it, and you would know why I was right in this. But I did it as tenderly as I could, and they were so mad. Half of the family was ready to leave and not have a funeral. And they hated me. In that moment, I am not overstating this. I was in that office dealing with this, so overwhelmed, and my ears just began to ring, which is dangerous, I know. That's the kind of stress I felt in that moment. I couldn't hear anything but ringing in my ears. Yeah, so you're all going, that's bad. I know that. And I just fell before the Lord, and I just started to pray to Him. God, I don't even know how to deal with this. I didn't even know what words. All I could do was groan like a bear. Groan like a dove. That's all I could do. Before the Lord. That was all I had left in my prayer. And the Lord just ministered to me comfort. That was it. Just invited me into His presence and just comforted me when I felt so overwhelmed, like I was in the middle of a battle. We got through that funeral. We got through it just fine. But God, I needed to hear a word from God, and I heard the word of comfort in the midst of it. Right? My ears immediately stopped ringing because my body was soothed. Everything was okay. But I was comforted when I needed that. When we're feeling overwhelmed in the times of death, relationships destroyed, when we're feeling like we're rejected because our sins have separated us from other people or from God and we cannot be loved, we need to hear from God the word of comfort. And Jesus is that word of comfort. He is that word of comfort. Jesus is the one who took all of that actual hate on Himself. And everything I felt that day, He took it on Himself. All of that hostility was His, and He owned it, and He took it to the cross and nailed it to the cross and put it to death. My comfort is in Jesus because He dealt with it. I can trust Him. My comfort is in Jesus because He took all of my wrongdoing. And then everything that stresses me out because of what I've done, He made it His own, and He dealt with it. It's been dealt with, and when Jesus speaks comfort to me, it's a real comfort. It's not just nice words. He can say comfort, comfort to me, because He has actually taken care of it. And He's actually the one who brings that comfort to my life. Not just a nice thought. He's the one who fixes it and holds me fast. The one who settles the warfare. And the one who forgives my sins. Because He can. Let's look at another word that we hear from God when we go to God in prayer. It says, Verse 3, a voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, every mountain and hill made low. Uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. When we go to God in prayer, we're going to hear a message of being prepared, of being leveled, of being re-leveled. This is the message that John the Baptist had as people came. He was the one that proclaimed this message just before Jesus came, and people needed to hear it so they could see Jesus. Now, I've marveled at these words and tried to understand it over the years, but this is how I understand it. There are times when we come before, when we feel like we are the valley. We suck. That's how I feel. I am trapped in self-loathing and self-pity, right? I feel despised and rejected. But when I come to the Lord, He lifts me up. Right? When I'm really low, He lifts me up. And then when I come to the Lord, like a mountain, and I think I'm all that, and I think I'm awesome, and I'm flying high on my own ego, I come to the Lord, and He lowers me. You see, I can't see God when I'm stuck in my self-pity, and I can't see God when I'm stuck in my self-love. Right? And so to be prepared is when I come and I seek God, He's going to humble the proud, and He's going to lift up the humble. That's the Lord levels us, and that's when we can see Him. I had a wonderful example of this not too long ago. I shared my testimony at Rotary. So this was fun. They weren't expecting that. It was a who's who, and they wanted to get to know me. So I shared my testimony. I wasn't sure how it would go over. But I prayed about it, and the Lord had really laid on my heart, I want you to share this message. So I shared it, and I didn't get congratulated. Oh, man, my ego was just wounded like crazy. Only like two people came up to me to thank me for speaking, and I was like, oh, they must have hated it, and I'm so used to your congratulations every week. You guys take such good care of my ego. So nice. Oh, Pastor Alex, that was the best sermon ever. I know, every week is better than the last. Okay. So I'm always so well taken care of by you guys, but I get there, I share my testimony, nothing, crickets. I'm like, oh man, what have I done? And so now I'm spinning inside of myself, and I'm like, I'm a wounded bird. I'm like, oh, I'm all tangled up in knots. And then I began to pray. Oh, and the Lord gave me these wonderful things. First thing He gave me is, you all have to share your testimonies in situations that are difficult to do that in, and you do it. So now God's given me an experience where I know exactly what you feel like. And it's been a while, so I'm just like, yay! That's great! We're in it together. Second thing He gave me was I had a heart check on my own ego and how much I need affirmations. Because what I should be looking for is just an affirmation from the Lord. The third thing He gave me was He just really emphasized to me, what did I ask of you? And I said in my prayers, I know that I was called by you to share the testimony I did, and I did it as well as I could. I felt like I did it as appropriately as I could. And that's it. So you called me to it, I did. He says, I asked for your obedience, and you did that. Thank you, well done. And that's what you're going to get. I didn't promise you congratulations. And in that moment, I was just settled with peace, totally. I surrendered to the Lord what I was called to surrender to the Lord, and it's up to Him to do with it what He will do, right? And so the Lord took someone who was simultaneously maybe too high and maybe too low, and He centered me. I'm just called to obey the Lord, right? That's what I heard from the Lord. Jesus does this. Whenever I look at Jesus, I see that level ground. Jesus is the level ground. I mean, simultaneously, you have the one who is carrying all of our sins, all of our sorrows, all of our sufferings. He made it His own, and He doesn't say, I'm a worm, right? He says He knows that He's the Father's Son. And even in the depth of it, when He's there in the garden and then on the cross, He says, my God, why have you forsaken me? But then He also says, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. He knows who he is and to whom he belongs. He's not stuck in self-pity. And then the other thing I see from Jesus is here we've got the one who has all authority in heaven and on earth. Here we're looking at the one who knows the thoughts and intentions of every person around him and yet never uses this to his own advantage. Never uses it to his own advantage. Never gets too high on himself. He himself is humble and loved. Like he walked that level ground. He is then the one who can prepare me. The third word I hear in this passage is to let it go or to refocus. Verse 6, a voice says, cry. And I said, the prophet, I said, what shall I cry? This is the message God gave him and we're to hear. All flesh is grass, and all its beauty like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. This is a word we need to hear, a word that refocuses us. If I were to proclaim it to you, I would tell you that nothing in your life is going to last. Nothing. Your job will end one day, hopefully a long time because of retirement, but it's going to end. You might get fired. Everything you've worked for will one day disappear. Your reputation will disappear. Your family will one day disappear. There's literally nothing you are working for that will last. You will not have any enduring legacy. There are only a few people in history who have those things. Nothing you live for is going to last. Except whatever you do for the Lord. That's it. The word of the Lord stands forever. And we need to hear this to put these things back into perspective for us. Jesus warned us, do not store up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and thieves break in and steal. Rather, store up for yourself treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. For where, say with me, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Listen to that. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This is the whole lesson on idolatry. People who make idols become like them. If we worship money, if we work for money, then we become like money. If we work for beauty and all the rest and all the popularity, then we become like it. Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth, rather treasures in heaven. Because the word of the Lord stands forever. Where your heart is, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. When I go to God in prayer, oh, I love it when God, I actually love it when God speaks this prayer over me. This word over me. I need to hear it. Because you get really busy. Have you been too busy lately? And you start to feel completely overwhelmed? Anyone? Hands up? Let's admit it, right? And there's too much to do and you're still trying to do it all. I challenge you to go to God in prayer with that list. And see which of them God's going to blow his breath over and just make it wither. Right? And if we don't let God do that with our to-do list, God will do that over your life. And there will be parts of your life that will just wither and die. And you're going to say, why? No! And you'll be so mad. Maybe it was an act of mercy from God. And sometimes in the lost that we find our need and we feel that the only place we can have that need filled is finally in God. And I know that some of you have suffered tremendous losses and I don't wish to make light of that. It's not like it's just a busyness that you are holding on to. It could be your health. I know some of you are struggling with some big health issues. But that security that you've had has been taken away. Your body, I've had to speak this word over people, your body is not meant to last forever. It will be raised. That body will last forever. But But in this life, we need to depend on the Lord. And if in your weakness you find the strength of the Lord, then you are blessed. Paul asked three times he asked the Lord to have a certain thorn in the flesh removed from him. God said no three times. He says, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will rejoice all the more in my weaknesses that the power of God may be manifested. Right? We need to approach it like this. We need to let these words speak over us. And I got to remember, when I look at Jesus himself, again, he had all the glories and riches of heaven, and yet he laid it aside, taking on the form of a human, remaining human to this day. Became a servant to us, not to be served, but to serve, and lay down and give his life as a ransom for many. Therefore, God has exalted him and given him the name that is above every name. That's the gospel that you need to hear when God speaks this message of the grass over your life. There's comfort in it. The word of the Lord will stand forever. The final word I want to share with you from this passage, I just love that there was four words in a row where the prophet says, listen, 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 declare it so people will listen. Here's the fourth word we need to hear when we go in prayer. Verse 9, go up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up. Do not fear. Now, I'm just going to back up a second. The word Zion is not familiar to most of you. You may have heard it. We may have even sung it in songs. And have you ever wondered what Zion is? Anyone? Want to admit it? Have? Okay. Pardon me? There's a Mount Zion. That's right. So Jerusalem, if you're aware of Jerusalem at all, there's a valley right beside it, and then there's hills kind of... Let's imagine the Mediterranean Sea is way over there. It kind of slopes all the way up, all these hills, and it's got some dips, and then there's this one mountain. It's called Mount Moriah, and that's pretty much where Jerusalem is, and it drops down to a valley, which in that valley becomes a system that goes down to the Dead Sea, okay, and then goes back up into Jordan over there. Okay, so Mount Zion, we get Mount Jerusalem as a mountain. The highest part is called Mount Moriah, but off to the side here, the shoulder, is Mount Zion. And the original city that the Jebusites occupied that Zion hill, and that's the one that David took over, and then when David took it over, he built it into a fortress. So Mount Zion is directly related to the promises of national identity for Israelites. It's David's fortress. So it's the promise that was given to David so that they would have a king and that they'd have their independence. So when you hear of Zionism, they're remembering that fortress. But it becomes a metaphor for the city, and the city becomes a metaphor for the people. So he's saying, let me reinterpret it then for you. Go up to a high mountain, you people of the promise. That's what Zion means. Go up on a high mountain, you people of the promises of God, and proclaim the good news. Lift up your voice with your strength. Jerusalem, which is God's throne, God's temple, and proclaim the good news. Lift it up. Fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, which is the province or their country, behold your God. Behold, the Lord comes with might. His arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him and his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. The fourth word we need to hear from this passage when we go to God in prayer is the word of good news. God has good news for you. I want you to see God simultaneously at once. We need to see him as our champion, our victor, our conqueror. But we also need to see him as our gentle shepherd, our father, our friend, right? And so we have these two images. On the one hand, we've got God who is conquering, and with him comes reward, and anyone who stands in his way is knocked down. This mighty God moving forward, winning battles for us, our conqueror. But then it says he will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom. And that's a word we don't use often. It just means the chest. It's actually not just the chest. It refers to the hug, the embrace, the physical embrace, being brought into a place that is both safe and intimate. To be in the bosom is to be safe and protected and to be close and loved. That's what it means. Now it's just been correlated with breasts, which is unfortunate. It means the chest or the hug, like that the place of safety and belonging. That's what's meant here. And he will gently lead those that are with young. We need to hear that. We need to hear this good news. Have you heard this good news spoken over you, that God has plans for you, that he cares for you? You have not been forgotten. You've not been forgotten. God has a plan for you. His love is for you too. He cares for us, and he wants to set you free. Oh my, this has been a fantastic story. I've heard from people in Freedom Session. The story of, and I've heard this one numerous times. I love this. In fact, I heard it from my opa too. The story is that God always had a plan for other people. They hear the story of how God sets other people free, how God wants to do a work in other people's lives, or how God wants to use other people, how other people can be set free from their drugs and alcohol, how other people can find freedom from pornography, how other people have been set free or their marriages have been healed, how other people have received these things. And that's what God does. And God, I know God loves me, but I don't expect that from God. And the story is, he expects to give that to you as well. There's good news for you. I found this, I shared this story, indulge me one more time. But praying before the Lord, I saw how much I struggled to accept the love of God. And as I was working that through, God was ministering to me with just comfort and quiet and silence. And then I felt challenged by God with this question. The question was, I've got to back up a little bit because it's something God can make use of in my mind because it's there. When we talk about Jesus' discipleship plan, he had 12 disciples, right? He didn't, but inside the 12 disciples were three that he was very close with that seemed to be his sort of leadership core. Then he had his 12. Outside of the 12, he had 72 disciples that were with him all the time. And outside of the 72 were the crowds. Right? So we talked about how Jesus' plan to change the world was through multiplication. So he had his core three, then he had his 12, then he had his 72, then he had the crowd. So Jesus' ministry wasn't meant to be a mass ministry. It was meant to be a ministry of multiplication, that he would minister to the three, and then the three would have their three, and those three would have their three. And then they'd all have their 12s, and then, you know, so things would multiply. And that's, in fact, how the church works best, is when we're multiplying. So this model's in my head. Now you know it. Okay. The Lord says to me, where do you see yourself in this model? Like, what's your relationship like to me? If I'm a leader on earth, what's your relationship like with me, Alex? Where would you stand in my leadership model? And I said, I guess I better say among the 12, because I'm a pastor. But I don't always feel like that. I feel more like I'm on the 72 or on the crowds. And then he says to me, you're the disciple I love. You're the one. You're my guy. I want people to see you standing next to me. When I'm at work, I want people to see you beside me working. Now, I promise you, this was not about my ego. That, in a moment, was a devastating moment to know that God loves me the way that he loved Peter, James, and John. That's how God loves me. That's how he loves you. And his plans for you are the same. You're not on the outside rings. You're not forgotten. God carries you like a shepherd. God wins battles for you. And we need to hear this message in our lives when we go to God in prayer. And God proved it for you in Jesus Christ. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord, and that's a promise here, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will know his salvation. You can do that today. Let's go to God right now and ask God to speak these words to us. God, we have come, we have heard these words, and I know even as I've shared it and I'm looking at my brothers and sisters, I can see that they too need to hear these words from you. Words of comfort, words of preparation where you recenter us, words of perspective that where we have to let things go and refocus on what lasts, but also, Lord, this word of gospel, of salvation, of good news. Lord, we call on you. We ask for your forgiveness. We ask for your comfort. And Lord, we ask for your good news. Set us free. Win these battles that we have been struggling to win for us. We call on you, Jesus. Amen. I got the worship team.